Welcome once again, everyone, to the Immigrants Journey podcast, a space where we learn and grow about Ireland's immigrant population. I'm your host, Carmenetta, and today I am delighted to have with us Natalia McDonald. She has been born in Russia, raised in the United States, and came to Ireland in 2016 to do her master's in Dublin. She then moved to Cork for her internship at NASC and stayed for the romance. What a great story, Natalia. You're so welcome. Thank
you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
My pleasure. So a little background on your time in Russia, the US, and Ireland. In your experience, what would you say are some of the similarities and differences between those countries?
I get that question a lot. And I'd say the best answer is that they're the same, but different.
Okay.
So, you know, there's all of these same problems that you would have, like, I don't know, housing, utilities, dating kind of thing. But there's also some like differences too. So, you know, cultural things, and it's such a vast question that I don't think I can answer it correctly. But if there's something a little bit more specific, then I can point it out.
Sure.
Sure.
Let's talk dating. What was your dating experience like in the US versus Ireland?
Well, in Ireland, I was a lot more kind of focused on my studies, so I didn't do too much. But in general, what I found out kind of through talking to people and through a little bit of my own experience is that in the US, it's much more of a hookup culture, and it seems a lot more fleeting. Mm. And there is less, you know, strings attached. So I used Tinder both here and there, but I feel like people try to connect a little bit more here. So if you're dating someone, you know, your boyfriend and girlfriend, you know, I feel like in Ireland, people date for long term a lot more, while in the US, it's more like, oh, we're talking. You know, there's no strings attached. You know, we're just talking. And you could be talking for like 3 months to 6 months and not call it a real relationship. And sometimes that could be more hurtful in the long end because you still connect with people and you still get used to them. But there's that no strings attached kind of mentality.
That's very interesting. Because see, like, I'm like you, like I was born in Brazil, I was raised in the United States, and then I came to Ireland. But when I started to date in the US, I ended up marrying my first boyfriend.
Really?
Yes. But I mean, he was Polish, he wasn't American. So maybe, maybe that's what it was.
That could have been it. I've just through talking to people, that's kind of what I picked up. But then again, I have friends who married their sweethearts in high school too. So I think it's a big, big range in the US.
Definitely. So when you came here from the US, what was the most difficult obstacle that you had to overcome in terms of cultural differences and adapting to life in Ireland?
So the biggest thing, I think I really missed my friends. I've moved around a lot, and you know, the first time I moved, I was 10. So I remember it being, you know, fairly easy because you're a little kid and you just kind of adapt wherever you are. The second time was in college and you're 18, you're just getting out of the house. Everyone around you is 18, just getting out of the house. So it's really interesting and it's fun and you're meeting new people. I moved again to Portland when I think I was 21, 22. And that was a little bit more difficult because you kind of develop your friendship and your group of people and you have to start over. Luckily I did, move with a friend and I had a few friends there, but then I really got established. And as soon as I got that, you know, established and I had my routine and I had my group of people, I moved to Ireland. And I think that was the biggest the obstacle, is to kind of tear myself away from that comfortable life and come into Ireland and not knowing anyone. So it did take a little bit to get used to, you know, just being here alone and starting new relationships over again. In my master's degree, most of the students were actually American, about a good half. So again, finding those friendships, and then everyone had to move away. But I had really, really good housemates that were all Irish, and it really made me feel like home. And, you know, we cooked meals together. Once in a while, we always sat on the couch and watched TV and just kind of
bonded.
Had some banter. Yeah, bonded. And we still communicate a little bit once in a while. So it's good to have those connections here as well. But moving to Cork was much easier than Dublin, I found.
Okay.
I met people right away, and it was just a lot easier than Dublin, I found. I'm not sure if it was just kind of I got lucky or whatever, or if it's a different Cork mentality. But I became really good friends with the people I interned with, and I also worked on the side, and that's how I met my husband.
Work romance. And all my
friends. Yeah. It just all fell into place.
That's fantastic. What would you say has been your greatest achievement since moving abroad?
That would be finding my passion in immigration. So I've always had a lot of different interests. I did a lot of dance when I was younger. I loved to draw and paint. I really liked geology randomly. But there wasn't that one thing that I kept pursuing. And when I moved to Cork and started this internship, it was like a light bulb moment. And that's the kind of thing that's when I started focusing, and like, this is what I want to do, and this is what I want to do long term. That's what happened. I recently got the job and am able to settle down and have a kind of a family life, and just kind of keep going without having to search.
That's fantastic. So let's talk about NASC and your work there, the paths to remaining in Ireland legally. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What made you want an internship there, first of all, and then how has it been?
So through my master's, I did a master's in human rights. It was kind of a general knowledge, human rights. And one of the courses was on immigration. And I was very interested in that. And through my own, you know, experience in immigration, after I finished, I was just looking for all the jobs that I could find in Ireland, which is kind of hard. And then I applied, I noticed that there was an internship application for NASC, and I read a bit about them, and I was like, that sounds like a really good organization. It deals with immigration. That's something that's personally close to me, and, the legal aspect of it and the human rights aspect of it as well. That's so brilliant. I applied kind of without thinking about it. And then I got an interview. And at the same time, I got an interview for a firm. I think it was like a legal assistant in Dublin. And I had a really good interview with them. And I was talking to my friends. I was like, oh, I have this interview in Cork for an internship. And it's unpaid. And I remember one of my friends saying, it's like, oh, you know, you have a master's. Have some respect for yourself. You need to get paid for your work. And I was like, oh, I know. But it just sounds so interesting. So I went down to Cork and I was sick, and I think I had like a stomach bug. So I really wasn't feeling that great. And I arrived and I had the interview, and just from talking to my later manager and her explaining what the work was, I was just so excited. And just by the end of the interview, I'm like, yep, this is what I'm doing. I'm moving from Dublin to Cork for an unpaid internship, because this sounds amazing.
Wow.
And it was. And it was like, I think it was probably one of the best decisions that I've made in my life, because I found that passion. And I also met my husband, and everything just kind of fell into place.
So, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful when you can work for a living doing your passion.
Yeah. It was very counterintuitive, but
That's how
that goes. Yeah, so the work that NASC does is essentially helping migrants empower themselves through knowing their rights and helping them integrate into the community. So the biggest work that we do is the legal clinics. Mm-hmm. So I think you mentioned that you had some experience there.
Yes, when I lived in Cork, I thought it was such a fantastic service because I was clueless. I didn't know my left from my right hand in terms of legal stuff. Mm-hmm. So it was it just made everything so much easier.
It is. It's there's just so much difficulty there. But what you do is you just come in and any question that you have, mostly to do with immigration. Sometimes people come in with non-immigration stuff, but we can point them to the right direction.
Yeah.
And then you just, you know, ask the question and then the legal officer or the legal intern can assist you and explain things and take on the case if need be, kind of thing. Yeah.
So what kind of cases would you guys be, what kind of issues, immigration issues, would you be assisting people with?
Mm-hmm. So a lot of family reunification. So whether it's refugee family reunification or just Irish citizen who wants to bring a child or a spouse or family member into Ireland, EU citizens who come here and, you know, get married and have to have family. So a lot of it is the family reunification portion. There's a lot of people that come in for citizenship. We can look over the applications there.
It's massive.
It's massive. that is the big one. We mostly don't take on the cases, but we can just point you in the right directions there, depending. Another one is people in direct provision come in. We don't help with the asylum process. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you know, maybe like one of the payments, something happened with one of the payments, or a person needs a transfer from one center to another for different reasons, we can assist with that. Irish citizenship or Irish citizen child applications, there's a few people that come in for those. So if you have a child that's a citizen and you need to stay in Ireland to support them.
Yes.
That's a big application that comes in. And just, you know, random things here and there. There are a few cases of like people that need to have their own status based on domestic violence.
Yeah.
Just registration with the Garda, kind of a whole plethora of things.
That's great. So let's talk community sponsorship.
Yes.
What is that?
So community sponsorship was based on Canadian model of integration. So essentially what it is that a community group gets together. It could be a church group. It could be a volunteer group. It could just be, you know, five neighbors from the community, and they fundraise and they help bring a refugee family into Ireland and support them. Yeah, so it's the family is already picked out by the UNHCR, and mm-hmm. they already have refugee status, so they're not going in into the asylum process. They already have the refugee status.
Okay,
but the community just helps them. So there's some fundraising that's involved to kind of, you know, have afloat. And then the community helps find housing. And then once the family gets in, they help them with all the paperwork, whatever it could be, you know, opening up a bank account or PPS number or finding English classes, going through like the healthcare system, anything that they might need support with.
The day-to-day stuff.
Yeah, the day-to-day stuff. And the benefit from that is that, you know, if a family comes in, as we may have all experienced as immigrants, you can feel really isolated and you can feel really lost in the system.
Yes.
And so there's that group that's already there that's welcoming, and it will take a lot of pressure off the family who might have experienced hardship.
For sure.
So, and then it's a welcoming environment, both for the family and the community as well. So, you know, the community doesn't feel like, oh, well, who are these people?
Who
know them. Yeah. Sometimes can be a sentiment in any community.
Sure.
So it's just that integration and just, you know, having a neighbor there already when you come in.
That's really excellent. So is this only a thing that happens through NASC and Cork? Or like if I got together with five friends and we wanted to sponsor an immigrant family, mm-hmm. who would we contact?
No, not at all. So that's Cork, NASC assists you with that in Cork. And then in Dublin, there is the Irish Refugee Council, I believe, and the Red Cross. Ah. Those are the organizations that will support you. But you can do it anywhere. It's just the nearest organization that can help you with that.
Okay.
So it does seem daunting at first, but even if you don't know much about immigration and you just want to, you know, assist with the, you know, crisis in Syria and the Middle East, really, you can get together and you can approach one of the organizations and you can get much more information on that. And you will have support all the way through the process. So it's not as daunting as it could seem like.
That's all right. That's mm-hmm. pretty good, actually.
Mm-hmm. And you know, like I've heard a lot of people say, like, oh, I want to help, but there's, you know, so much going on. I don't even know where to start. I don't, you know, I may not have the experience. Anything helps. Like, if you do want to sink your teeth into something and start the group and be part of the group, that's something you can definitely do. Again, there's going to be support all the way through. But if you don't have time or if that seems like too much, you know, you can find your local community sponsorship group or even, you know, call up your Red Cross or Refugee Council or NASC and get in contact with any of the local groups. And you can, you know, maybe donate some of your time. Like if you're like a physiotherapist or like an artist, or mm-hmm. if you just have, you know, like some furniture around,
yes.
You can connect with the group and see if they can either use that for the family or if they can use it for their fundraising. So there's a lot of people that, you know, a lot of musical artists that donated their time to fundraise, to just play a gig as a fundraiser here in Cork, which was really amazing. So you can do really small things and not feel like it's a big commitment and can still feel like you are helping.
Yeah, because every little effort helps, doesn't it?
It does. It really, really does. Yeah. Yeah.
That's brilliant. So let me ask you, what shifts in your thinking have enabled you to push through resistance and succeed in life, be it at work or in your personal life?
So I think from moving around and knowing a lot of people from different cultures, one of the things that I noticed is really helpful is having an attitude of curiosity.
Mm.
So if you come into a new place and you're doing things one way and things are done a different way, just look at it like, oh, that's so interesting, instead of like, oh, you're doing that wrong. Like, because, well, A, it's going to be easier on yourself, and B, you know, people are going to be a little bit more open about it. Because if you're coming into a place and then like, no, you're doing that wrong, might not fare well. But it's just because we always notice the differences anywhere we go, and we usually notice the differences that are bad first.
Yes.
So always pointing out like, oh, well, I wish it was done like at home, or I wish this was done differently, could be just like a very negative spiral.
Yes.
And it's, I don't know, I just find that hard in my own mental health.
Mm.
So having that kind of like, oh, that's so interesting. And sometimes you pick up better, a better way of doing things. And sometimes you don't. Sometimes sure. You're like, okay, well, how I do it, it's better anyway, so I'm just going to do it that way. But, you know, it's not necessarily always the bad thing. So it's just kind of learning the differences.
Exactly. I just find that curiosity, like you said, and flexibility mm-hmm. really helps you to adapt to new situations. And it's so daunting when you're in a new place, like you said, when you don't have your friends around, when yeah. things are being done differently, you don't really know the legal system, little small yeah. cultural things. So yeah, keeping mm-hmm. an open mind and just kind of taking everything as it comes. It alleviates a lot of stress and a lot of yeah. negative thoughts, which is great.
And not being hard on yourself if you do something wrong, you know, if there's like a social faux pas.
Yes.
That you just really didn't know about.
And sometimes that's funny. Okay?
Yeah, sometimes it's funny, yeah. But if you're an anxious person, sometimes I'm like that. I'm like, oh my God, did I actually say that? It's okay. You didn't know how things work. It's fine. And most people, especially Irish people, are really welcoming and understanding, and like they really like to explain how, you know, like when I met my husband, he had a lot of different slang that I actually didn't understand, and I really like that.
Correct slang is fantastic.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Have you picked it up along the years?
Oh yeah, definitely. I had to ask my intern friend. I'm like, what did he mean by that? Is that a slang or is it just something else? But yeah, it's a fun way of experiencing new cultures.
It definitely is. So when you move around, how do you deal with like the anxiety and fear of like being in a new place?
I drink a lot of mint tea. I feel like that helps.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's calming. So that's kind of the thing is, I am quite an anxious person. Mm-hmm. And before I moved to Ireland, I took a 4-month trip around Europe. So I went to Russia for a while.
Okay.
Because I haven't been home for ages. So I went to Russia and I spent a month there. And I think I spent about 2 or 3 months traveling around by myself in Europe, which was terrifying at first, but I made myself do it. And now I'm a lot more confident in just, you know, the anxiety of travel and like getting lost in a place and whatnot. I'm terrible with directions and maps. So that was helpful, kind of pushing yourself out of that comfort zone and pushing through that anxiety. And I remember before I left to do my master's degree, I was very, very anxious, and as anyone would be. And I was kind of like having really bad anxiety at work. And my coworker said, whenever she has anxiety, she tells herself, like, this is your superpower. Like, this is going to get things done. So instead of having that, like, you know, that buzzing negative feeling of like, oh my gosh, I'm so anxious, my heart is racing, it's taking that and consciously making it like, this is my buzzing superpower and I can do these things and I, you know, have all of the energy to accomplish. So that's been helpful.
Yeah, you're basically reframing. So
yeah,
we always give stories and add interpretations to whatever our bodies are feeling. So instead of giving it something negative, you're giving it something positive. I love that. It's a superpower. It's great.
Yeah, isn't it good? Yeah, yeah.
You sound like you're really like proactive. Like whenever you move to a place, you just kind of take it all on board and you just have a really positive attitude. And I find that people that do that when they move around, they just have a better experience versus people that stay kind of retreated within themselves and don't really try to make the effort to integrate, especially in Ireland, because they are so open here and it's really, it's not that difficult if you try.
Mm-hmm. I'd say so. I feel like I can be both. I do need my downtime and I do need my like Netflix.
For sure.
And just having a face mask. Yeah.
Let me ask you one last question. What do you know now that you wish you first knew when you moved to Ireland?
The thing that I that stands out to me the most in Ireland is kind of a reality check that I got. So it's not necessarily something that like I should have known, but it's just an attitude that I had. Like I moved and expected to get my master's and then kind of stay in Ireland. I wanted to work for a while and then see how things went. But there's people in the same boat as I was, but like a few steps ahead. So also Americans that got a similar degree, and they were telling me how hard it is to find a job, to find a work permit for a job in Ireland. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, grand. It was hard for them. It's not going to be hard for me. Like I can do it. It was really hard.
Was
it? It was. Yeah. It like the, I find that the work permit system, it is highly restrictive. If you don't have, you know, the critical skills like, you know, IT or engineering, because I have human rights, so it's right. Who wants to do human rights? And that was kind of a privilege check for me, because I thought like, oh, you know, it's hard, but it's not going to be hard for me. And I did find the same kind of attitude with a few people that I worked, just in like little things like, oh, well, the processing time of this application, it's this long, and people would be kind of shocked. Or, you know, you can't just rock up to the GNIB in Dublin and register. You have to get an appointment.
Yes.
Those kind of things that some people are like, what do you mean I have to get an appointment? It's like, yeah, and it's also going to be maybe a month ahead of time, and you probably have to cancel your meetings that day, or, you know, whatever. You can't pick and choose. There's a lot of people that kind of found that a little bit shocking, but that's just how it is. So anywhere you move, especially if you are from like a developed country where things were easy, and you move somewhere else, it can be, feels a little bit
cumbersome,
difficult. Yeah, at times. And you're like, what do you mean I have to jump through all these hoops? So yeah, it's just kind of going with the flow, I suppose, and not having those expectations.
That's really good advice. I had the exact same experience. Like when I first moved here, I entered the country incorrectly. So instead of saying I'm here to move and live with my husband, I said I came here to visit my husband. So I got a 3-month visa. So then I had to go to the immigration officer and say, no, I'm actually going to stay here because he's living and working here. So this whole process, I had to go back to the immigration officer. I was living in County Meath at the time, like 3 times before they had everything that they needed from me in order to approve me for the 6 months. And it's like, for whatever reason, they don't tell you everything your first visit. You kind of have to keep on going back, and you're like, oh my God, how many visits is it going to take to get the stamp? And I was so anxious because I wasn't working the first few months that I was here. So now I didn't have my friends, and I was just like lost. I'm like, why did I come here? And it's like all these things. So yeah, that's a really good thing to keep in mind, that it's not going to be easy. Things move very slowly, but if you persevere, it all gets done.
Exactly. And just being proactive, you know, that's another thing, is people do make small mistakes, just without knowing. But that's not, in the eyes of a lot of the immigration officers, that's not a good excuse, because, you know, there might be a paragraph that you, you know, depends on your level of English, you kind of missed, or, you know, for whatever reason, but it's there, it's written there, and you might have missed it. And like, well, no, it says it there, you shouldn't have missed it. And it's like, it is a very small thing.
Yeah.
A lot of the times, but there's not a lot of, like, proportionally, there's not a lot of, you know, understanding about it.
Yes.
So what I'd recommend is just, even if you come to Ireland and you might stay here for a short term, or you might stay here for a long term, and if you don't really know exactly, I'd still recommend going to organizations like NOSC in Cork, or I believe CrossCare and the ICI, Immigrant Council of Ireland, in Dublin, and just knowing those paths and being proactive about it. And even if you have been through the system, like you said, you've gotten your stamp, everything is good, still maybe checking in and seeing like, well, I'm thinking about staying here long term, and I'm thinking about applying for citizenship in the future. What should I start doing? That's one of the biggest things, is people won't have enough proofs of address, even though they've been living here for like, you know, 5-10 years. And that's one of the things that could make the process harder and, you know, more stressful and longer.
Exactly.
And like the little things like registering with your GNIB officer. And one of the biggest things is letting them know if you've changed your address, which I get really mad about. It's such a small thing. It really is. And you just don't think about it. But that's like one of the biggest, smallest things that you can do wrong with the immigration system.
Yeah. See, this is all good advice, and it's good to keep all these things in mind, because if you do miss those little things, you just delay things more for yourself. So now, instead of being able to do this and get this out of the way this month, you're going to have to wait till 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. So get on it. Be proactive, people. Natalia, thank you so much for chatting with us today and giving our listeners a bit of advice on how to go through the legal process, and also your fine work at NASC. So I can't wait to get this podcast up and and all the usual channels where podcasts can be found, and I'll send you a link when it's done. And if people want to follow NASC or your work, what is the link for that?
There's a Twitter account, there is a website. I don't know if there's a Facebook. I'm actually not on Facebook myself.
That's no worries at all.
I'm a little bit out of the loop, but I can definitely send those on to you.
That's perfect.
Into the podcast. Yeah.
And I will do that.
Thank you so much for having me.
It has been my pleasure. Thank you for sharing your journey with us today. And until next time, ciao.
Bye.